possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world. Points of interest along the trail. And offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Young quarterbacks all the rage. Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ Stewart's in for Perloff today. We've been going through every quarterback room in the NFL one by one until we get to the season opener. That will be the Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles. Today, we are still in the NFC North, so Ray, hit the music.
I feel so lucky to be the quarterback.
It's the position everyone wishes they could play.
Why can't I be quarterback, huh?
Sit down and shut up.
But it's not for the faint at heart.
Quarterbacks are premium.
I think those things add up to make it quarterbacking the toughest job in sports.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
All right, today it's Maggie and EJ, so Manny Rodriguez is giving us our one big question about the Chicago Bears. Go ahead, Manny.
That's right, you guys. We head to the Windy City. Things not exactly going to plan in Chicago for the Bears and their quarterback, Caleb Williams. So I ask you guys, will Caleb Williams be the team's starting quarterback in 3 years?
Oh, boy. Man, I understand that things aren't going well. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, this all started to me last year when the Bears went into the season with Caleb Williams with a lame duck head coach and Matt Eberflus, who was just waiting to get fired. And then this offseason when Caleb Williams gives some very revealing quotes to author Seth Wickersham about how hesitant he was about coming to Chicago to begin with and really did want to go to Minnesota. I think Caleb Williams is going to be the Bears quarterback, not just in the next 3 years, EJ. I think it's the next 10 years. I'm not giving up on the prophecy here. I do think they are going to get this ironed out. And all of the growing pains that we're seeing now are just a necessary step and necessary uncomfortability to get to where they need to go. Mm. This is what's going on in Chicago. Okay, I'm not some football coach, but I know enough to know this. They are completely changing the way that Caleb Williams has to play.
Yes.
Okay, he was coached up, I think, well by Lincoln Riley, but this is a very different system than what he was doing in college, right? This is not a lot of shotgun. He does have to be under center. It's kind of just relearning a new way to play QB. That's going to be a little uncomfortable. It's like getting a bad haircut. It's got to grow out a little bit before it looks like what it's supposed to look like. So he's got to go through this now, and it's better to be making the mistakes now than when the season gets going. I think what people don't understand, too, about Ben Johnson, although we should because we watched him be the offensive coordinator in Detroit.
Yep.
This is a run-first offense.
Yes, it is.
So that actually decreases the amount, I think, the margin for error. They are going to be heavy on the run game here. That helps the quarterback. What we're seeing now, just a little bit of growing pains, just some frustration. I do think this is ultimately going to be a good marriage. And to be honest, if things go poorly in Chicago, I think Ben Johnson's going to wear it more than Caleb Williams. I've been very open about that. I know that it hasn't exactly been a love affair yet between the city and Caleb, but Ben Johnson hasn't shown anything as far as a head coach. Caleb Williams won the Heisman and came in. You can see some of the talent. I have no idea if Ben Johnson's going to be a good head coach. So to me, I think Caleb is not just here for now in Chicago. He's here for the long haul.
Man, I was all in on Caleb Williams to the Bears in terms of him being a generational talent. I don't think he's there in 3 years. And wow. It sounds crazy considering, you know, just how well we thought of him coming out of the NFL draft. But we forget this is not Ben Johnson's pick at quarterback. And whenever you have a head coach who inherits a quarterback, it's almost like they're looking for reasons to get rid of you. It's rare that you see a guy get really embraced when they didn't choose you. Like, even with Jared Goff, like, they technically kind of chose Jared Goff. They traded for him. He may have been a throw-in, but that's a guy they decided to be their quarterback in that new regime in Detroit. And there was a lot of a love affair. There definitely was a love affair there. And a lot of, like, you know what? He may not be everybody else's guy, but he's our guy. I think this is going in a weird way with the Bears offense and how it started. There's been a lot of criticism from Ben Johnson in terms of how sloppy they've been, the issues that Caleb Williams is having in terms of getting the teams in and out of the huddles and these procedural penalties. He seems to be very frustrated by that.
Yep.
And the reality is they play in a murderer's row of a division where you have tough games, you have some tough cold weather games. Even though they're a cold weather team, they're not very good. At least they haven't been very good for the last few years. It's just a tough spot. And I think for Caleb Williams, I don't even know if I'm saying that I think he's a bust. But I think this year is not going to go as well as people think. I think you're going to see a lot of more growing pains. Now you're talking about a quarterback who's the number one pick in the draft that could be going in two seasons where we still don't know if he's a star yet. I think that's going to be the reality by the time the season is over. And then the seat gets really hot. And I'll be honest, I think they'll turn on Caleb Williams before they turn on the coach, because the Chicago Bears have had successful coaches despite quarterback play. They had Mike Ditka. They've had Lovie Smith. They will get behind a coach. They believe in that guy. They believe in that guy's vision. And they'll say, quarterback, you're the problem. You got to go. And I think for Caleb Williams, considering he's kind of a different cat, he doesn't look Chicago, feel Chicago to me in many ways. I think they'll look at him and say, you know what, that guy from USC, he's the pain in the nails. He's the problem. Let's go get a real tough guy. And we're going to change the quarterback position. I think that's a reality. And maybe he goes on to be a star somewhere else.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't like the way this thing is looking.
So it's interesting about who would get the blame if this goes sideways. Is I think that the Bears fan right now, despite all the amazing history that the Bears franchise has and how like revered they are as a franchise, I think you could look at how they've been run and you could get really frustrated with some of the decisions that have been made with the Bears, right?
Definitely.
Like, absolutely, in terms of it's been a revolving door of coaches. You know, GM and coach are never on the same timetable. You know, it just, to me, there's a lot of ways you can poke holes and reasons why the Bears have been left in the dust in the NFC North. I mean, when the Lions have been able to turn things around and you are still not super competitive, like that to me is it's an organizational failure.
Definitely.
Like it's your worst nightmare if you're a Bear fan. The fact that the Lions can stand over you and say we're the better run organization when they had an 0-4 season. But, you know, that's why I think that if Caleb struggles, I think that the fan base would look and say, we messed this up. You guys messed this up. You had a talent. It all fell into your hands. We weren't even supposed to have the number one pick, but you did pull off this amazing trade with a dumb organization in the Carolina Panthers. Now, we'll see what happens with Bryce Young, but this wasn't very smart. And you landed the number one overall pick. You got a great talent, and the team messed him up, because this is, so far, what the Bears have done, at least in year one with Caleb, it's all the things that you do to mess up a young quarterback. You put him with a head coach that's not going to be there, with a bad offensive coordinator who's not going to be there. They all got fired. So now he's in his third offensive, like third person in his headset who's giving him play calls.
Yes.
It's all the things that confuse young quarterbacks and stifle their development. So I don't think he would get the lion's share of the blame, even if his personality is a little bit of a different cat. I just think the Bears want competent quarterback play, and his personality isn't so brash that it's going to really rub people the wrong way, like in mass.
If we say that now, but again, when that losing mounts up, everything gets magnified, right? Like, I remember, you know, Zach Wilson chewing on gum and just looking smug in a press conference. Lost the city.
Yep.
Lost the city. Like, he didn't do anything wrong before that. He was an upstanding kid before that. And they had a terrible offensive performance. He's chewing gum in a game where they scored no points. And he's like, I don't know. It's a team loss. And the city was, he couldn't recover from
could
that.
Not recover.
And I think, to me, like, Caleb Williams is way more like very confident in some himself and who he is, that I don't know if it's, he's going to do way more than that, I think, if things get bad there. And the one thing I will say is, I do think, yes, Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, like those guys are definitely going to take a lot of blame. I still don't think it's going to be Ben Johnson. Mm. But I think the fans are going to look at this and say, well, listen, like the organization has been a mess before Ben Johnson even got here. The last place Ben Johnson was, it ran extremely well. He's coming here and he's identifying the problems. He's identifying where the organizational problems are. And now if Caleb Williams struggles, they're going to say he's identifying the quarterback issue. So we have trust in this guy that he can figure it out. And then the one last thing I'll say about the Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams fit. There's the one thing about this fit that did worry me a little bit.
Yeah.
When I think about the Lions offense and I think about kind of how they play football, you mentioned run first team. Also, like Jared Goff is not asked to do a lot of freestyling. In fact, it feels like when he's asked to do that or he has to do that, that's when he makes a lot of mistakes. I think Caleb Williams is super talented when it comes to playing off script, when it comes to making plays that no other quarterback can make. It's in some ways, it's almost like trying to get Josh Allen to play like very conventional football. I don't know if it's in his DNA. So I wonder if this is a round peg, square hole situation where Ben Johnson's saying you got to hit this target at this time and be precise. And maybe Clay Williams is like, well, I can make a bigger play and I'm very creative and you got to let me be an artist. Remember that conversation? Well, are you an artist or are you,
surgeon?
A surgeon, right? Caleb Williams is an artist, and I think that this is a surgical offense. So if they're going to try to make him into something that he's not, that could come up with a lot of problems. That could present a lot of problems as well.
Well, and again, that's why I think Ben Johnson would get the blame, because it's like if he is trying to make an artist a surgeon, they're going to say, well, why didn't you use the physical gifts of a guy? But to be honest, I think that in order for Caleb Williams, like, this is where he should be listening to the coaches and where he does have to learn more, because you're right, Josh Allen was wild when he first got to the NFL, and he actually had to hone it in to become a more accurate passer. Definitely. It wasn't just because Stephon Diggs got there and caught everything. He actually had to refine his game, which is what Caleb Williams is going to have to do. The other thing, too, though, about we're talking about the Bears quarterback situation. The question today, will Caleb Williams be the Bears starter in 3 years? Like, is this thing going in the right direction? Is it going in the wrong direction? I think Bears fans will look back and say, you've tried to sell us on this offensive genius before, and it didn't do diddly squat. Mark Trestman, Matt Nagy. You can't be coming from a better organization than Matt Nagy. He's Andy Reid's right-hand man. Mm-hmm. He came to Chicago. It didn't work. Now you're giving us Ben Johnson. We have no idea. He's coming from a great organization in Detroit. We have no idea if this is going to work. I think that the coaches will get the more of the blame, I think, than the player. You have to play Mitchell Trubisky level bad for them to turn on you.
We also got to factor in that having Eberflus as a head coach with a rookie quarterback, considering the mess that season was, this is almost a clean slate for Caleb Williams. This
it's like a rookie year.
Rookie year 2.0. So I think we're willing to give him a lot of grace and let him mess up again. The whole artist to doctor surgeon situation, I think this is going to be a happy medium, but it's going to take all 17 games to get to that happy medium.
And also, it's just, I think if they're just in the hunt, you know, is there a playoff mandate?
I think there is. I think, and it's a tough division, but I think that people thought that they were going to be a playoff team last season, and that didn't go. That was with Matt Eberflus. Like, now you got the best, arguably the best, you know, play caller in the game who's coming in to fix a Bears offense that people still feel has talent, right? Like,
yeah,
you got
it does.
DJ Moore, you got Rome Odunze, who drafted very high. Luther Burden is a guy I couldn't believe he didn't go higher. I love this kid out of Missouri. And you got DeAndre Swift at running back. So I think there are expectations, considering how well they play defense, that they should make the playoffs, regardless of how tough the division is. And I don't know if they're going to be up for it. It's going to be tough. And we could say that, you know, yes, this is a kind of like a blank slate year, but it's got to go well. Like, when we did this last time, it was with Trevor Lawrence. It was like, oh, he's got a blank slate year because he played for Urban Meyer. If Trevor Lawrence went out there and it took him 17 games still to look like he could be a starting quarterback, I think we're having very different conversations about Trevor Lawrence. It was the fact that he went out there and played so well and made the playoffs that we were like, yeah, see, that's why we need to give him that year, because it was, you know, so bad under Urban Meyer. If Caleb Williams is struggling and they're 3-5 and things aren't working out, it's not going to look the same. And we're not going to have the same patience we had with another QB who had a terrible rookie head coach the last time.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So we are asking one big question about every quarterback room in the NFL today is the Chicago Bears. And our question, will Caleb Williams be the starting quarterback in 3 years? It's like, where is this thing going with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson? The reports have not been good. They have not.
Like it.
The reports have not been good. But again, this is what the preseason is for. And especially when you are basically, you know, installing an entirely new offensive system. If it looked like perfect out of the gate, that would be stunning. I think you can let guys struggle a little bit.
You know what's been weird real quickly about not only Ben Johnson, but also Aaron Glenn a little bit is from what I have seen.
The two Lions coordinators who are now head coaches.
Yes. From what I've seen, it doesn't feel like they're coaching their teams anything like the Lions were coached. Like, if you remember Dan Campbell, and we watched Hard Knocks, so we actually really got to see how he was coaching his team. It was all positivity. It was all, I know this is tough. I know everything's tough. Everything's, you know, difficult, but trust me, guys.
We're I believe in you.
I believe in you.
Yeah, it was like, very positive.
There is none of that. Definitely none of that in Chicago. It seems like Aaron Glenn softened a little bit now the training camp has started, but they've been both kind of hard asses. And that's a weird thing. You know, it makes me wonder, like, you know, did they learn the right lessons from their time in Detroit? Because I definitely think, as much as those coordinators were a big part of their success, I think Dan Campbell's attitude and how he approached that situation, which I think is quite similar to what the Lions were, right? Teams that haven't been in the playoffs in a long time, they won Super Bowls, but have won Super Bowls in decades ago. Like, they're similar situations that I think maybe require a similar tact. And they're going the opposite. They're like, we're going to be tough. I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to tell you what you're doing wrong. It feels like a totally different shift from how the Lions were developed.
I'm telling you, if you listen to this show with any kind of regularity, Perloff loves Ben Johnson, right? Wants to fit him for a gold jacket right now, you know, that this is the next great coach. And I've been the one who's been more reserved on that because you got to find that balance, right? Mm-hmm. Or you've got to figure out, like, if you come in and you are this, like, really hard-ass coach, but you don't have all the answers, you look like a fool.
Definitely.
And, you know, I thought Ben Johnson, when he came in and called out Matt LaFleur, I was really shocked. He had this opening press conference as well. Anytime you can beat up on Matt LaFleur, like, said his name.
Yeah.
And I figured, oh, they must have been, like, college roommates or something if you're going to pull that kind of joke at your opening press conference. And the Green Bay Packers head coach was like, I've never talked to this guy. I'm like, who is you? Like, you're coming in and you're saying that you're all of a sudden you're going to, you know, you love beating up on Matt LaFleur. Like, that's all well and good when you're the offensive coordinator. It's much different when you're the head coach.
Feels very college. I didn't love it when he did it. I think in college, you know, when the coach comes in and talks about, oh, you know, we're not going to talk about that school upstate or whatever. Like, those shots, I think, are warranted. I think rivalries mean a lot more in college. So
you're recruiting against them.
Yeah,
recruiting
against
them.
Yeah, like, this is going to be, listen, whoever wins on Sunday or Monday or Thursday, they play every day now. Whoever wins on those days is going to win. It don't matter really what you're talking about in the offseason. It felt a little juvenile, but to be fair, maybe this is also Ben Johnson, you know, quickly course correcting. He could have been like, oh, we're going to just smoke the Packers, then watched the product on the field and was like, all right, hold up, we're not there yet. And maybe he's changing it up. And if he is, I could accept that. You know, what I don't want is a guy being false bravado when there's nothing there.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be the emperor with no clothes, right? And you hope that maybe, yes, you know the Packer fans are going to hold on to those comments that they sweep them again this year. But you hope that most of America kind of forgets how Ben Johnson was in that first press conference, similar to when we talk about Nick Sirianni and some of the other coaches who have had bad press conferences. You hope that that's something we can kind of forget about.
Well, Nick Sirianni's opening press conference was he just sounded like he was on the train, was on the tracks, and then just took a left turn. He didn't call out, Dak Prescott or something like that. He just lost his train of thought, and it sounded stupid. This is, you're calling out the Packers head coach, and now you're a practice like, geez, I don't know, like, we're one day at a time. Like, okay.
Yeah.
We're not going to win a lot of games if we keep playing like this. Like, what happened? We love beating the Packers. That wasn't 2 years ago. It was like 3 months ago. So maybe a little more, 4 months ago. Anyway, 888-710-4ISN. The question today, will Caleb Williams be the Bears quarterback in 3 years? There you go. Okay, lots to do, including what will a successful season look like for the following teams and some very interesting comments that one veteran had about Travis Hunter in his attempt to play both ways in the NFL this season. It's Maggie and Perloff Show.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ's in for Perloff today. We're going to play a little game here called What Would a Successful Season Look Like for the Following Teams? We've got four NFL teams. Take a little bit of music, Ray, just a little something. Manny's going to give us the team. EJ and I will tell you what a successful season looks like for them. Pull up. Okay, right. Great. Manny, go ahead.
So the New York Jets... we'll start with them. What will be a successful season for the J-E-T-S Jets, Jets, Jets?
Whew, this is tough.
I mean, take it first. You're the Jet then.
Yeah, I love my Jets. Not expecting a big season. I think to me, if it looks like Aaron Glenn is the coach of the future, that is all that matters. Hmm. I don't think if they have to tank and that happens, that's fine. I think if they win 8 games, that's fine. I think even more than ensuring that they even have the quarterback of the future, they have to know that they have a head coach that they can actually really believe in, because they've gone through now so many coaches that were not the answer. And then you go with Aaron Glenn, who's obviously a former New York Jet, a very good Jet player when he was here, one of the more highly regarded coordinators in the NFL. I think if he looks questionable and we're looking at this thing saying, like, it don't look like he has a clue, we're going to be on the same train all over again. Because if that's the case, then we know Justin Fields is not playing well. And then you're starting to wonder whether or not he's going to be the right person to have a new quarterback on his hands, right? Because we're not expecting a one and done. So you need to figure out if Aaron Glenn is the real deal. So to me, that is the only thing that needs to happen for the Jets to have a successful season, to be honest.
The Jets can't pick a quarterback to save their lives in the draft. They've just got to hope that Justin Fields, someone else's cast off, can actually become their guy. And to me, that it would be the successful season. And the real answer is, as long as Woody Johnson's owning the team, I don't know how successful you can be. But right. One thing I know that Woody Johnson does respond to, and that is stars.
Yep.
He's always looking for stars. He wants stars, stars, stars. If Justin Fields can become a star in his eyes, then I think everything else, maybe he kind of backs off and backs away just a little bit. And so to me, it's Justin Fields looks good. You look like you can compete in the AFC East and Fields can become a star in New York. Then maybe Woody backs off. That's the only thing you have. Because, I mean, the last time the Jets were successful, Rex Ryan, the great defense.
Yeah.
But even Rex burned out eventually.
But, man, can Justin Fields be a star in New York?
I think he can.
I mean, I'm pretty high.
He's actually coming in the perfect way.
I know.
Very low profile, under the radar. This is, if he can actually win and kind of stay sort of humble in that way, which he definitely can. He's been like that his whole career.
Yep.
then I think that's somebody that New Yorkers will be drawn to. Okay, who's next, Manny?
We'll stay in the AFC. We'll go to Cincinnati. A successful season for the Bengals would be?
It's Super Bowl. I'm sick of downgrading the Bengals because, you know, yeah, their defense has not been good. It's not like they haven't been spending draft picks on defense, though. I know the Trey Hendrickson thing is what's taking all the attention.
Yep.
They spend more top 100 draft picks on defense than maybe any other team. Now they're paying the offensive guys,
yep,
but they should be able to have these defensive guys take a step up. You got a new defensive coordinator, and you and I will disagree about this, EJ. Joe Burrow is a top tier one MVP, should be caliber quarterback with maybe the best receiver in football. Why we would put anything less than Super Bowl on these guys, I do not understand. I think it's grading on a curve. They don't deserve that curve. They should be a Super Bowl contender.
We're really off on this one. I say make the playoffs. I don't even think you have to really win a game, to be honest. Like, I've been saying that I think the Bengals are old news. This is a team that we're kind of living in 2021 with them being, you know, one missed, you know, false start and one Aaron Donald play from being Super Bowl champions. And besides that, not a whole lot in the last 3 years since. So to me, this has to be a back-to-form year. I think Super Bowl is too high for a team that has missed the playoffs the last few years. They've had injuries happen with their quarterback. Keep them healthy. Get back to the playoffs. Make me be wrong. Like, if you really are not old news, go out there, make the playoffs, have, you know, big games, be a factor in the AFC. Then we could talk Super Bowl next season, because it's probably going to take 2 years to rebuild this defense, if we're being honest.
Who's next, Manny?
How about the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray? What would be a successful season for those out in the desert?
I think this is a sneaky playoff or bust team. I think make the playoffs is definitely a successful season. Anything less than that, I think, is a disappointment. Look, the NFC West is... NFC West is in a weird spot.
It is.
The Niners are coming off this disastrous season. They actually, I think, swept the Niners last year. The Rams have Matthew Stafford, who has an epidural. We think he's back to be okay, but who are we to say? And the Seahawks are bringing in a new quarterback in Sam Darnold, and they've shifted a lot of things. They moved off from DK Metcalf. It feels like if there's going to be a chance for the Cardinals to make a move in this division, it's now. They were one of the sneaky, most improved teams in the NFL last year. They improved their win total from 4 to 6 to 8. And if you look at their, you know, their stats in terms of where they rank in the NFL in yards, touchdowns, you know, both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
They were pretty good. They were about top 13, 14 in all offensive categories, about top 16, 17 in all defensive categories. This looks like a team that's on the rise. I don't think we think that way because everyone's so down on Kyler Murray. But considering where the division is, considering, I think, the decent job that Jonathan Gannon is doing, they have to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think it's... I think it's playoff in the hunt. I think it has to be an in-the-hunt situation. But to me, successful season is you have to see Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison Jr. That's got to become a thing.
Okay.
Like that, I think Jonathan Gannon, even though he's a defensive guy, but I think he buys himself more time and this thing gets to grow and keep going in the upward trajectory if those two look like they actually have a connection. You can't take a guy fourth overall pick as a wide receiver, as highly touted as he was, and have the type of season like his rookie year. It's got to look a lot better. We know Murray can get him the ball. So that, to me, that's going to be the success. Can those two look like the pair of the future? Okay, last
by the way,
one.
Trey McBride.
And Trey McBride is great. And one of the highest paid tight ends in the league.
Yeah.
They used to be the bottom of the division, the laughingstock of the division. Now they're not, much to my pain. The Washington Commanders, a successful season for the Commies would be.
Okay, so I'm going to go maybe a little to steal from Perloff against the grain on this one. To be successful, I don't think they have to get back to the NFC Championship game. I just think you have to get back to the playoffs.
Okay.
You can't have the fall-off season. It can't be, oh, we had this amazing run, and now we're like a 7-win team, and we missed the playoffs, and it's like, oh, gosh, is Dan Quinn the right guy?
Right.
What is you know, Bo Nix creeping up on Jaden Daniels, or is Drake May creeping up on Jaden Daniels as the best quarterback from this class?
Yep.
It's just got to be playoffs. That's it. To get back to the NFC title game, or I know a lot of people are thinking Super Bowl, I don't see that. I'm fading the Commanders in a lot of those, in a lot of that way. Just get back to the playoffs. Prove that you're a real thing.
I'll be honest. It's not even a team success thing. I think making the playoffs would be successful, but I think it's more important about what's going on with Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels has to avoid a sophomore slump. That's a successful season. If there are other issues that happen, right, where there are other injuries that cost them, or maybe Jaden misses 5 games and that cost them, or it's just a tough playoff race and they just miss out. I think that's okay. Like, I think that they were way ahead of their skis in terms of getting to the NFC Championship game last year. I don't think that they were a serious Super Bowl contender. And now they were in a weird spot this year where they kind of had to bring back a bunch of old guys that were there last year that played well. Like, I'm expecting some of those guys to not play as well. So if they take a step back as a team, that's fine as long as Jaden Daniels still looks like a future superstar. You can have a sophomore slump in terms of the team itself. Maybe Dan Quinn as a head coach with this team. I know obviously he coached in Atlanta. Jaden Daniels has to be removed from all that. He can't be a part of the sophomore slump. That would be a successful season. Jaden Daniels still looks like a star in year two.
There you go. So that was Washington, Arizona, Cincinnati, and the New York Jets. If you missed any part of that, you can always hit the rewind function on the Odyssey app. You can download the Maggie and Perloff podcast, which is available every single day. We should mention SiriusXM channel 375, our new channel, and on YouTube and Twitch and all of these amazing affiliates. Peter Schwartz is here with updates for us. Good morning.
Good morning. We'll start with some baseball, and the Brewers keep rolling.
Strider's 3-2 pitch. And this is a high fly ball out to right. White is back at the track. Bye-bye baseball. Blake Perkins, his third hit of the night. He goes big fly to right. It's a two-run home run. And the Brewers lead it 5-1.
That was Jeff Levering on Brewers Radio, and the Brewers win their sixth in a row. They beat the Braves 5-4. Now to New York, where Guardians pitcher Gavin Williams was two outs away from a no-hitter.
Gavin, into the motion, the 1-0. Swung on, pounded, deep center field. Martinez, track, wall, leaps, it's off the wall. Caroms back toward the infield. And now the umpires are saying it hit the back wall. And Caron back onto the field, a home run.
That was Tom Hamilton, the Hall of Famer, on Guardians Radio. The Guardians beat the Mets 4-1. Gavin Williams, 8 2/3. One run, one hit, struck out six, and walked four. It was a bit of a controversy at Citi Field yesterday about this.
What's that?
Met fans gave Gavin Williams a standing ovation as he came out of the game after 8 2/3. So if you were a Mets fan sitting at Citi Field yesterday, do you respect what Gavin Williams did? Would you get up and cheer him, or are you sitting there miserable?
I just wonder if it was a little sarcastic. Like, do they clap because you didn't actually get the no-hitter? It got broken up. Maybe I don't know. I can't put myself in the Mets shoes, but I don't know if this was like a clapping, like, thank God, get this guy out of here.
I think they were mocking the Mets offense by applauding the starting
maybe
pitcher.
It's that.
Yeah, it's funny because that's those two takes are not what I was seeing on social media. Everyone was like, oh, the Mets fans are clowns for giving the guy a standing ovation.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Which, because to me, I was like, yeah, that sounds clownish to me. How do you give a standing ovation to a guy on a great performance on your team? And especially when your team is struggling so much. That made no sense. But if you're telling me, oh, no, it was like, oh, you got a hit and a home run. Congratulations, guys. You didn't get completely, utterly embarrassed. Then, yes, I'm for it. But if you're otherwise, no, you don't give the opponent a standing ovation for a great performance.
What if he had gotten the no-hitter, though?
Yeah, so
what if he had gotten the no-hitter?
The 30,000-foot view. If you get no hit by the opponent in your home stadium, do you give the standing ovation?
Absolutely not.
No, I don't think you give the standing ovation then. But, I mean, I think you definitely should give do you like baseball? That's awesome. 8 1/3 without giving up a hit? I mean, I don't care if it's against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. If I see that guy walking off the mound, I'm going to be, I love baseball.
What?
I'm going to be like, all right, good job,
buddy. Eight out of nine. And you're getting no hit when the talking point around the city is
I like baseball. I guess I'm the only one that actually enjoys baseball here and can see things as a neutral fan.
Well, what happened here? What didn't this happen with Paul Skeen? At the Cardinals when his rookie season, or maybe it was the second year, I think he went like five shutout innings, and they gave him the standing ovation. We're like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, five is
second place trophy.
You can't be that, like, you know, you could be good fans. Like, we're not trying to diss St. Louis, but it's just like, you know, it's also a division rival.
Yeah, that's a weird.
So personally, me, I do not give the standing ovation to someone who just no-hit my team. It happened to the Mets, obviously. Max Scherzer did it. Mm-hmm. It's happened a couple times. Max Scherzer did it famously when he was playing in the division as a member of the Braves. And what was Braves?
Oh,
right?
Nats.
So, and I'm not going to give a standing ovation to
that. Our friend Andrew Bogish had
Bogish. What are you, bursting in like the Kool-Aid, man? What's going on?
He had a press pass to yesterday's contest, and has 2 cents on the almost no hitter.
Good morning, folks.
Thanks, Manny.
Man, you just couldn't stay away from us.
The standing ovation was 100% legit.
like for his performance. There was no sarcasm. There was no relief. It was just, that was a heck of a game, because it was. It was unbelievable. He was dominant, Gavin Williams. As far as enjoying the no-hitter as a Met fan, that remains debatable. But the standing ovation by itself was just for the way he pitched. It was legitimate and it was honest.
All right. I mean, listen, you're sitting there. You're watching it all day. Do you? Wouldn't be me.
That's insane.
I'm too petty for that.
I'm sorry. That is insane to me. And that is clownish by the Mets fans. Like that, you have some respect for yourself. I mean, you can't hit. You lost 8 out of 9. Your season is kind of getting a little bit off the rails here, and you're congratulating the other team for almost making this laughing stock of a month even worse. How is that?
But I could see it if he got the no hitter. Like I could. Yeah. That's the only thing I would somewhat agree with Manny on, is that if you're at a game and you're seeing history, I could see, and it's not like I would go crazy, yeah, way to go. It would be like a polite like clap and everything because of a job well done, but not after he leaves the game and didn't get it done. Why are you cheering him?
Well, okay, but there's no way you can't cheer him after the no-hitter. Like, the no-hitter happens. Like, if he completes the no-hitter and the game is over, his team is on the field. They're jumping on each other. Like, there is no time to do it. Like, that was a legitimate. I had no problem with it. I was surprised that it happened. But like, as Manny smartly said, sometimes you just need to be a baseball fan. And that guy was on. The Mets flirted with one hit. There was one diving catch in right field. Everything else was right out of fielder. No effort to make it. He was dominant. Okay. And he threw 120 pitches.
Okay, so does this apply to other things? Like, someone comes into your arena, drops 50 on you. And then gets taken out of the game with 20 seconds on the clock. Manny, you're telling me all those times in the Garden when stars used to come in and drop 50 on your Knicks, you're going to stand and give them like you're going to applaud Harden?
They have.
Yeah, I've seen people drop a lot of points on the Knicks.
It's ludicrous.
Repeatedly.
It's ludicrous.
I hated it when it happened. Kobe dropped 60. I hated it. LeBron had this.
I was there for that.
Oh, of course you were, a Laker fan. When LeBron dropped the 50-point triple-double that they didn't took back, I hated it. Like, James Harden, I hate all of them. I don't know. I'm rooting for my team, regardless of the situation, to have the ultimate success. If my team faces the ultimate embarrassment where they get dominated by the other team, I'm not cheering for that on any level. It doesn't matter who it is. It could be the great Kobe Bryant. It could be the great Max Scherzer. I don't care. It's never going to happen. Not ever, not once. No, not happening.
I also wonder how many casual fans are at Citi Field yesterday. The Mets are kind of a happening in New York City right now. Of course, you have your hardcore Mets fans like us, but how many of those fans yesterday, day game, were casuals just going there because it was a thing to do and they applauded the visiting pitcher?
Can't find the casuals in the Bronx.
Hey.
Because technically the team's Dallas
they
yesterday.
They priced out the casuals. I'm sorry.
Put up on the poll, Manny. Do you applaud someone as a great performance in your home stadium, the opponent? That is. Peter, maybe one time for one more little one?
Tiny? Let's do that. Red Sox sign outfielder Roman Anthony to an 8-year extension, reportedly worth $130 million. He had a lot of people to thank.
Just everyone along, you know, my life who has helped me get to where I am today. You know, there's a long list of people I could thank and a lot of people who aren't here right now. And, you know, as we know, in this game, it takes a team. And, you know, it took a team to get this done.
And I can tell you right now, if he comes into Yankee Stadium and gets 4 hits and 2 home runs, I am not cheering him.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, how far do you take this? Guy hits a grand slam, you know?
No.
You going to cheer for him? Like,
no.
And I get it. No hitters are a really big deal. I'm not taking away from that. It's just you do it on the road. I don't think you expect to get the ovation from the opposing crowd. But anyway, that's what we're going to leave. You can go vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl on X. Do you cheer when an opponent has an all-time moment in your stadium? Coming up, we are giving out some awards. Who is going to have the biggest bounce-back season in college football? We'll tell you next, M&P.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ Stewart and the Pixies, both happening on the show right now. Okay, so let's give out some superlatives. Pearl's on vacation. Okay, we are going to predict some bounce back seasons, okay? Both nice. On the college side and on the professional side. Let's start with college first, EJ. Sure. A bounce back season, who do you have in the college ranks?
It's going to be a little predictable as a Miami fan, but I'm going to go to Carson Beck. It's like we forget Carson Beck can play football, given just the dialogue around him. Yeah. Like when he was picked up by Miami and there was a lot of this negativity, and to a certain degree, some of it from me, because even I was like, oh man, Carson Beck, like this guy was supposed to be number one pick, and he really flamed out last season. Then you look at the numbers, and you look at the success he had, even last season in what was a quote-unquote bad year for Carson Beck. You're still looking at like 26 touchdowns, 12 picks, one of the highest QB efficiency ratings in all of college football. Him and I believe Haynes King are the only two guys with back-to-back top 30 college football efficiency seasons, QB efficiency seasons that are going to be starting this year. He's one of the best quarterbacks in college football. He may not be the number one pick kind of good, right, but he's good enough, I think, to lead Miami to maybe another double-digit win season. We'll see if they can get to the playoff. But I think the whole, all the negativity around Carson Beck on the field, off the field, what happened with the Cavender twin, I think some of that's going to get put aside when Miami starts winning some football games. So I'm going to say Carson Beck has a bounce back year. Maybe not first round pick NFL, but maybe we're talking about him as a day two guy.
For me, it's going to go to a team more than to one player. If you're asking me who's going to have a bounce back season in college football, I'm going to go to the Utes, coming off of a 5-7 season. And part of it is because of the changes they've made to the team. So you bring in fantastic quarterback Devin Dampier, but he was on the New Mexico, not yes. Power Four.
FCS.
And they bring a new offensive coordinator, and they have two All-American tackles. Like, this offense is going to look completely different than it has for a long time. This is like a pro-style offense that's now going to be more of an RPO, spread them out offense. And in the Big 12, I think, I'm not saying anyone can have a bounce back season, but this is the conference if you are going to have a great year, and if you are going to, you know, turn around your fortunes, the Big 12 is the place to do it. And yep. I love that about the Big 12. Same. I like the parity. I like the fact that Arizona State was picked last in the conference last year and ends up winning the whole thing. I think that's cool about college football. You know, when it's all predictable and you know it's going to be, you know, Georgia and it's going to be Alabama, to me, that's not as fun. I like the fact that these teams can turn things around. Is this going to be Kyle Whittingham's last season? Yeah. He's already picked his successor. There's just a lot of really cool things to look at when it comes to Utah. So to me, that's going to be my bounce back team.
It was surprising that Utah was so bad last year, or just so not in the picture.
Well, like, the Cam Rising thing hung along for a little too long.
And they didn't seem like they had a real serious plan behind him, so that was a problem. So, yeah, I think Utah could be a team that makes a bounce back. Big 12 is completely unpredictable.
Okay, as for the NFL, who is going to be the bounce back candidate for you this year?
Oh, get ready, Cowboys fans. Dak Prescott, bounce back year. And again, we got to compare it to what he did last season, which was a lot of mid-play and then an injury that ended his season. The bar is extremely low for what Dak Prescott has to do to put together a quote-unquote bounce-back season. But I think he'll be healthy. He has now another weapon in George Pickens who can be a little out there, let's say. A little, maybe. But has a lot of talent. Now is not going to have a lot of the responsibility he had in Pittsburgh, where he was asked to be a number one receiver. That takes a lot of maturity, takes a lot of patience, things that this guy just doesn't have. Now he's asked to be a number two, and he won't have defenses all geared to stop him. Dak Prescott, two star receivers, I think a healthier season. I think Dak Prescott has a bounce back year, especially playing for a coach in Brian Schottenheimer, who he likes. I don't know why he likes him. I don't like him very much.
Here's the one thing, though, about Dak. I'll give you my bounce back player in just a moment. You know, the one thing that helps Dak Prescott the most is when they actually do have a run game.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys are a team that love to tell you that they always want to commit to the run.
Sure.
And then you look at what they actually do in terms of the running back talent, and it doesn't look like they want to commit to the run. They've got four guys on the depth chart, none of whom, you know, are really going to blow your hair back.
Yep.
They could have gotten Derrick Henry, decided not to do that. And so I just wonder if they're going to be real pass happy because of George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. So Dak could have big numbers, but is it going to be balanced? And are they going to become predictable?
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're asking me who's going to have a bounce back season in the NFL, give me Trevor Lawrence, another guy who was injured last year, only played 10 games.
Yep.
New coach, so now he's on his third head coach. Gosh, I hope this one sticks for him.
Duval.
Yikes. Yeah. Every time you play that, I'm like, oh, man. But I still believe in Trevor Lawrence. I just don't think this is the last we've heard of him. You know, he was so good in college, so good in high school, so good in college. At some point, we are going to see it. We've seen flashes. We saw the big comeback win over the Chargers in the playoffs, although that feels like a really long time ago. I can't quit this guy. I just think he's going to end up being maybe more of a late bloomer rather than a has-been or a never was. So, you know, he's got Travis Hunter now to take a little of the attention away from him, maybe take a little of the pressure off. This is not a terrible roster by any stretch. So, to me, it's going to be Trevor Lawrence with the bounce-back season and a winnable division.
Yeah, and I think Travis Hunter is going to be a difference maker immediately. I think Brian Thomas is one of the more underrated players in the entire NFL. That guy is a dude. But schedule's a little weird, right? You got to play against the AFC West.
They don't have to do the 2 weeks in London, though, this year, right?
No, 2 weeks in London, so that helps them a little bit. But the AFC West is tricky. They got to play the NFC West as well. Those teams are also pretty decent. So Jaguars, one of the more fascinating teams this year. Nobody's really talking about them, but I'm curious to see what they do this year.
Bounce back season for you, 888-710-4ISN. Big Friendly on the horn from California. Friendly, we got about a minute for you, pal. How you been?
I've been good. Real quick, I do non-emergency and medical transportation. I don't go to strip clubs. I don't go to nightclubs. I'm too old to shop at Sam's Club.
Yes, better clear that up.
Okay. And by the way, out of context, that's one of the greatest calls of all time.
Real quick. I don't know if you heard the news, but there's something going on right now that Aaron Donald has made a statement that if the Rams acquire Michael Parsons, he's thinking about coming out of retirement. I feel he should come out anyway, but what is your guys' opinion on it? Have a great day. I'll call back tomorrow.
Friendly, you're the man.
Big Friendly, thank you.
Appreciate you calling in, pal. Is that true?
Did
he said that he would come out of retirement?
Yeah, he posted on Instagram an Instagram comment.
Can Aaron Donald play quarterback? Because have we seen whether or not the guy can throw the ball? Because that's what the biggest issue for the Rams.
Yeah. Too much muscle.
Their defense. Not their defense. Yeah, too much muscle. The question for the Rams is the fact that Matthew Stafford has to get an epidural. And as I can say rather confidently, as the only person who's had an epidural on this show... not what you want.
It's pretty terrible.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but have you ever gotten a paper cut?
Yes, Manny, you tell me what real pain is about.
A paper cut. How can you bring paper on a plane? Things are sharp.
Yeah. Quarterback's getting an epidural, and he's not pushing out a baby. He's trying to play 17 games of professional football plus the playoffs. Color me skeptical. It's Maggie and Pearl Upshur.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.